Meantime, the French had given way and were flying in all directions. A grenadier officer, seeing this, called out to those around him, "See, they run!" The words caught the ear of the dying man. He raised himself, like one aroused from sleep, and asked eagerly, "Who run?" "The enemy, sir," answered the officer. "They give way everywhere." "Go, one of you, to Colonel Burton," said Wolfe. "Tell him to march Webb's regiment with all speed down to the St. Charles River to cut off the retreat." His voice grew faint as he spoke, and he turned on his side, as if seeking an easier position. When he had given this last order, his eyes closed in death. When the news reached England, triumph and lamentation were strangely intermingled. Astonishment and admiration at the splendid victory, with sorrow for the loss of the gallant victor, filled every breast. Throughout the land were illuminations and public rejoicings, except in the little Kentish village of Westerham, where Wolfe had been born, and where his widowed mother now mourned her only child. Wolfe's body was embalmed and borne to the river for conveyance to England. The army escorted it in solemn state to the beach. They mourned their young general's death as sincerely as they had followed him in battle bravely. His remains were landed in Plymouth with the highest honours, minute guns were fired, flags were hoisted half-mast high, and an escort with arms reversed received the coffin on the shore. They were then conveyed to Greenwich and buried beside those of his father who had died but a few months before. After further successes of the British in other parts of Canada, under Generals Amherst, Haviland, and Sir William Johnson, the French cause became utterly hopeless. On the 8th of September, 1760, a British force of 16,000 men assembled before Montreal, and on the same day a capitulation was signed which severed Canada from France forever. One of the most momentous political questions that have ever moved the human race was decided in this struggle. When a few English and French emigrants first landed among the Virginian and Canadian forests, it began. When the British flag was hoisted on the citadel of Quebec, it was decided. From that day, Providence pointed out to the Anglo-Saxon race that to them was henceforth entrusted the destiny of the New World.